Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we are going to be talking about a very hot topic, a wrathful God. Why is that such a hot topic? Well, because many preachers today will not preach about a wrathful God. They will preach about a loving God. They will preach about a compassionate God. They will preach about a gracious God. But they will not preach about an angry, wrathful God. In fact, I was listening to something on YouTube from somebody who I really respect and who has proper theology. And he was talking about some list that some large church, globally large church, put out about the ways preachers need to preach. And some of the things that were in that list were always be friendly, always be positive, never be negative, make people feel better walking out of church than how they walked in. Emphasize God's love. Don't emphasize God's wrath. What? By emphasizing one of God's attributes or several of God's attributes, and ignoring or even trying to discard some other attributes, you know what's happening. They're creating their own God, which is no God at all. It is a God of their own making, a God of their own choosing. That's idolatry. And so we must talk about a wrathful God. People need to understand, listen very carefully, God is angry every day. Wait a second, Andrew. Where does that say that in the Bible? Well, Psalm chapter 7, verse 11 and verse 12. God says about himself that he is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. This is what God says about himself, that he's a righteous judge and a God who is angry every day. Man doesn't repent. Verse 12, God says he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and he has made it ready. Now, Scripture is very clear about God's anger, right? Now, a lot of times people confuse God's anger, God's wrath, with kind of like human anger and human wrath, right? As humans, our anger very often is sinful anger. It's not righteous anger, it's unrighteous anger, right? Our wrath, our desire for vengeance is very often very sinful, very unrighteous. But that's not God's anger. That's not God's wrath. God's anger is a holy anger, a righteous anger. God's wrath is a holy wrath, a righteous wrath. God is angry with unholiness, with unrighteousness, with disobedience, with ungodliness. And God is wrathful. He is a just and righteous judge. And he must punish all unrighteousness, all unholiness, all rebellion, all sin, all ungodliness. And God says the punishment is eternal damnation, where God's wrath is poured out throughout eternity. In fact, God makes that very clear in Exodus. In Exodus 33 and 34, God was very upset with the Israelites. Why? While Moses was at the top of the mountain, Mount Sinai, receiving the Ten Commandments from God, you know what the Israelites were doing at the bottom of the mountain? Led by Moses' brother, the high priest Aaron, they made their own god, a golden calf. And they were worshiping that god and involved in all kinds of revelry. Well, Moses was upset because God's holiness was being dishonored. And God was upset because his holiness was being dishonored. God brought vengeance, his just wrath, and wiped out a large group of them. God also said, you know what, Moses? I don't want to lead these people to the promised land. They're rebellious. Moses interceded. God showed mercy. But God didn't ignore their sin. And here in chapters 33 and 34, Moses wanted to see God's glory. And God said to him, Moses, no human can see my face and survive and live. Not here on earth, right? Because God is infinite in his being in perfection, in his holiness. No finite human, no sinful finite human could ever stand in the holy presence of God and survive, right? But God said to Moses, what I will do is I will proclaim to you my glory. What did God mean by saying that? He said to Moses, I will proclaim some of my attributes to you. I will proclaim my intrinsic glory to you, the sum of who God is. And so after God told Moses in chapter 33, look, you can't see my face and live, chapter 34, God, verse 5, descended in a cloud and stood there with Moses as he had called on the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed in front of Moses and proclaimed, and here is God proclaiming some of his attributes, his intrinsic glory. What does God say about himself? God says he is the Lord God. God says about himself, he is compassionate, he is gracious, he is slow to anger, and he is abounding in loving kindness and truth. God revealed to Moses some of God's glory, some of his attributes. And God said, let me tell you who I am, Moses. I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord God. I am gracious. I am compassionate. I am slow to anger. I'm abounding in loving kindness and truth. God says he keeps his loving kindness for thousands. He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet, God says that he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. He's a just God who will pour out his just anger and wrath on the guilty. And so, God here makes it very clear who he is and how he is, right? We all love when we hear about the fact that God is gracious, that he's compassionate, that he's slow to anger, that he's abounding in loving kindness and truth. We love that. We love hearing that God is forgiving. But we don't like hearing that God will not leave the guilty unpunished. We want to just ignore that, sweep that under the carpet, or discard that attribute of God. Well, guess what? If you do that, you have a completely different God. It's not the God of the Bible. It's not God. It's no different than making a golden calf. And so, God is angry every day with sin and sinners. God is just. He will not leave the guilty unpunished. God's wrath is a just, perfect, holy, and righteous wrath. And we have to understand something. When a preacher fails to preach about the justice of God, the anger of God, the wrath of God, he is preaching a different God. And the people in the congregation who are amening and raising their hands when they hear about God's love and God's compassion and God's grace, but they never hear about God's anger towards sin, God's wrath towards sin, they're believing in a false God. You see why this is a hot topic today? And, you know, in Jeremiah, God condemned the false prophets. And why was God so upset with the false prophets? Well, you know what they were preaching? Jeremiah 6, verses 13 and 14, God says about these false prophets, from the least of them even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. False prophets were in it for the financial profit. Nothing new under the sun, by the way, today, right? He says, from the least of them even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. What have they done, God? What have these prophets and priests done where they are dealing falsely about you? God describes it. Verse 14, they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially. How do they do that, God? By saying, peace, peace. God is love. God is grace. God is mercy. God is patient. God loves you. Don't worry about how you're sinning and don't worry about how you're rebelling. Peace, peace. There's not going to be any wrath from God, any justice from God, any punishment from God. And God says, they were saying peace, peace, but there is no peace. Because God's wrath had already begun. He already raised up the pagan Babylonians. And in three waves, they were going to destroy God's holy city, Jerusalem, and God's holy temple. And God's people were going to be taken into exile. Why? Because they didn't fear the holiness of God. They didn't submit to the word of God. They weren't afraid of the anger and wrath of God. Why? Because the prophets in peace were saying, peace, peace, no worries. God is love. And God goes on to say in verse 15, were they ashamed because of the abomination they have done? Nah, they were not shamed at all, God says. They didn't even know how to blush. Therefore, here's God's wrath. They shall fall. Among those who fall, at that time, I will punish them. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. Does God have every right to be angry when he is dishonored, disobeyed? Does God have every right to pour out his just wrath? Sure he does. In fact, just a couple chapters earlier, chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. Actually, it was just one chapter earlier. What God says, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule on their own authority. Not under God's authority, their own authority. And here it is. And my people love it. These prophets and priests, they were popular amongst the people because they were saying what the people wanted to hear. They were letting the people do whatever they wanted to do. So the prophets and priests could keep collecting money. God said an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. Again, there's nothing new under the sun today. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so. And God said, but what will you do at the end of it? When God's wrath is poured out. You see, as sinners, which we all are, because we all inherited a sin nature from Adam and Eve, a sin nature that causes us to live in rebellion to God, a sin nature that causes us to be hostile towards God, a sin nature that wants to rule ourselves under our own authority, a sin nature that wants nothing to do with God. As sinners, God has every right to pour out his just wrath on us. Because God is holy. God is perfect. God is pure. He is righteous. And he's a just judge. Remember what he said. I will not leave the guilty unpunished. If God goes back on that and doesn't do that, then that means God's a liar. Then that means God is not God. That means he's Satan, who's the father of lies, right? So when God says that he is wrathful, when God says that he is angry, when God says that anyone or anything that falls short of his perfect standards, anyone or anything that dishonors his holiness, when God says, I will not leave that person unpunished, God is defining for us who he is. Yes, he's gracious. Yes, he's compassionate. Yes, he's loving. But he's also wrathful. You can't have the one without the other, right? Because again, then you have a different God. Well, see, that's what the people here during the time of Jeremiah wanted. They liked the loving part. Again, the prophets are, peace, peace. They love that part of God. You know, the God who they say, well, we can do whatever we want. And God's not going to do anything to us. Boy, did they get a very harsh wake-up call. And so, again, I go back to where I began. Today, most modern preachers don't want to talk about sin. They want to talk about God's anger, God's wrath. The idea is, look, you know, people come to church, you know, they had a brutal week under stress and dealing with nothing but negativity. They need to come to church and they need to feel good about themselves. Isn't that what the false prophets were feeding the people? Peace, peace. Listen, you want to know how you feel good about yourself? After you're crushed by God's holy word. What do I mean by that? Isaiah chapter 66. God says in verse 2, second part of verse 2, to this person I look, to this person I show my favor. To the person who's humble, contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. You want God's favor? You want God's smile upon you? Preachers today say you just got to write a big enough check for donation, tithe. Oh, that's how you get God's favor. That's how you get God's smile on you. That's how you get God's blessings on you. No. God says, you want his favor? God looks for people who are humble, people who are contrite in spirit, because they tremble at God's holy word. Look, think of our hearts, right? During the week, we're out in the world, we're surrounded by worldliness, ungodliness. And without us even realizing it, our hearts become so hardened, don't they? Well, God does not look with favor on hardened hearts. God wants hearts that are humble and humbled. God wants hearts that are contrite, repentant, broken. But how do we get there? Naturally? No, we can't do it on our own. We won't do it on our own. You know what we need? The jackhammer of God's holy word. Think of a jackhammer. You go to any city, you can go down the busy streets, you're always hearing jackhammers, right? What are they doing? They're just crushing the hardest stones, rocks, pieces of cement. Well, why do these workers not just use a rubber band? Come on. It's not going to work. Well, why do these workers not say, now you rock, you're very special, and come on. they pull out the jackhammer and they just keep hammering and hammering and hammering and hammering until that hardened stone is broken, crushed. Well, friends, Scripture declares we need the jackhammer of God's holy word to break and crush our hardened hearts so that we are humble before God, so that we are repentant and contrite before God. We tremble at the word of God and we desperately want, listen now, the grace, the mercy, the love, the patience of Almighty God. Do you see it? And yes, God is loving. I mean, come on. Greatest demonstration of God's love is at the cross. But don't forget, God is just. And it was there at the cross that in God's infinite wisdom, God showed love towards us, the lawbreakers, the sinners. How? By not punishing us with the punishment we deserve. God said, I will not leave the guilty unpunished. But God didn't ignore our sins. He didn't just sweep them under the carpet because God is just. And how did God demonstrate his justice? By raising up a substitute, his beloved son, the perfect one, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus the Christ, who was punished in our place for our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And God's holy wrath was poured out on him instead of on us. Do you see it? God's love demonstrated towards us. He didn't punish us. God's justice demonstrated that he punished our sins. Because he can't ignore them. He says, I will not leave the guilty unpunished. God's wrath poured out on his beloved son instead of on us. Jesus died, but 3 days later he rose in victory, overcoming sin and death for us. And Christian, you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Through Christ, we have forgiveness of sins in terms of that day of judgment. Through Christ, we have the free gift of eternal life. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. Sealed us for that day of ultimate glorification. But Christian, along the way, between now and then, think about how easy it is for us to let that cement in our hearts get real hard. And hardened. Again, during the week, think about all the stuff you're surrounded with and surrounded by. That's why when we gather together on the Lord's Day, the preacher needs to pull out the jackhammer of God's holy word. Until all of our hearts are crushed, where we're humble, where we're contrite, and we tremble at the word of God because we understand God is just, God is wrathful, and we cry out for his mercy, his love, his grace. Yes, even as Christians. And you think about how many people going to churches today who think they're in a saving relationship with God, but it's the wrong God. They're trusting in a God who's only love, who's only gracious, who's only compassion. They know nothing about a God who says, I will not leave the guilty unpunished. They know nothing about God's anger, God's holy anger, God's righteous anger, God's righteous wrath. And so maybe somebody now is listening and saying, oof. Hopefully now you understand God's love and God's justice. You can't have one without the other. And think about maybe You've been trusting in a different Jesus. Hopefully now you understand who God is and how he is. And the 2,000 years ago on that cross, God demonstrated his love towards you. He didn't punish you with the punishment you deserve. Instead, God raised up a substitute, his beloved son. And your sins were placed on Christ. And God's wrath was poured out on him instead of you. God's justice was satisfied. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus paid for your sins in full in terms of that day of judgment. Repent of your sins. And place your faith and trust in the true Jesus. Trust that you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and cry out for his mercy. And as a Christian who has already been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, demand, whatever church you're going to, demand the jackhammer of God's holy truth. Oh, Christian, it'll hurt. Trust me. I study. That's what I do for a living. Trust me, it hurts. But boy, I tell you, you know when it feels good? After God's word just crushes your heart and heart, and you are then a recipient of God's mercy, his healing grace, and his favor towards you. And you just say, Lord, thank you. Because, Lord, you know what's better for me than I do. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.